You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Good evening. I'm Juliette Frumholt, your host from now until 11 o'clock. Very happy to be with you on this slightly chilly evening, little dark, but we've got some good music to warm us up. I want to welcome our guest for the evening into the studio. We've got Max Fender from Alone at 3 a.m. in the house. Welcome.
Thank you.
So happy to have you here. We're going to talk about this new album that you guys have out. But first, would you play one for us?
Yeah, sure.
Tour is over, back in my bed. Was I just dreaming? Did I go where I said? Miss all those people, always glad you came. It's hard being back home, nothing quite feels the same. Nothing quite feels the same. Surrounded by demons, mean angels on the road, just good-hearted people trying to carve out a little home. Do I dare dream? Do I dare go? I'm grateful for all the friends I've made out here on the road. Oh, out here on the road. I say ignorance is bliss, but it's never been my way. I just wish there's more tolerance out in the world today. Life is too short not to show what's in your soul. I'll reach out my arms if you're ever feeling low. If you're ever feeling low. If you're ever feeling low, if you're ever feeling low, this tour is over, back in my bed. Was I just dreaming? Did I go where I said?
Max Fender from Alone at 3 a.m. So you told me a little bit about what this song was about. It's a brand new song, and you just wrapped up a tour, in fact. Give us a little bit of the background of this song and the tour that inspired it.
Well, I just got back from a European tour, and that was the very first time I was out of the country. So it had that trip had a big impact on me, of giving me another perspective, which I never had before, of seeing how the other side of the world lives. And it was right when I came home, and it was probably like 4 days after I got back from my flight, and I was still jet lagged. So I was waking up at like 4 a.m, fresh as a daisy.
ready to go.
And I started just writing because I just still felt like the afterglow of all the love that I felt from all these people that I met that were so nice and so accommodating. And I just wanted to write a little song about the longing that I have now for Europe, which I never had before. But it was so great. It was so beautiful there.
Going into that tour, what was it like for you as a musician? I mean, I'm sure first time out of the country for anybody is, you know, you kind of got that apprehension. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's scary. But to be experiencing that and knowing that you're going to be on stage in a completely new place, What's that like, and how do you kind of prepare yourself as a performer?
Well, a lot of panic attacks beforehand. I really, you know, freaked out a lot, and because I was always afraid. I'm always afraid of, like, the unknown. Mm-hmm. So this was a lot of unknown. I didn't know if I could manage just getting around, you know. Luckily, the thing that saved me the most was a Google Translator app, which is amazing, which I had to use because we got trapped in a parking garage in the Netherlands. And there was like 8 cars behind us honking and yelling at us. And we were just like, we're putting in the ticket. I don't know why the gate's not opening. Please. Sorry. You know, and then people would come up and just yell stuff at us.
Yeah.
And then we were just like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Oh,
like,
no.
You know, it's like you're left with just this box and it has foreign words. Mm-hmm. And then you're stuffing this ticket in. So I used my translator app, and then we could decode and say, oh, okay, oh, this is what happened. You know, so that helped a lot. But it was I had no expectations, and I was just, you know, I was in it for, in my mind, the whole experience, you know. So there was, like, just being in another country was so surreal, and to actually have people that really do relate. Like, I pretty much – the way I had my set was, like, I talked a lot about my own life and how my life is like here in where I live in Kentucky. And so they were already in of, like, the guard was down. I said, like, I'm very overweight compared to everyone here. Like, everyone is so trim, and, you know, it's like, what is going on? Like, I need to start riding a bicycle more. So the guard was down. Everyone was, like, super nice, and it was just so incredible to just be, like, walking on cobblestone that's, like, hundreds of years old, you know. So everything was just amazing, you know. I got to go on the channel, like, underneath the ocean in a train, you know. Like, that was super weird, which I was surprisingly calm. It was like a 28-minute ride.
See, that would freak me out.
You would think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You just have a conversation in the car, and then before you know it, they're like, ding, we're here. You know, we're in England now. I'm like, oh, my God, that was underneath the water. Like, but it you know, totally fine with that. I got to ride the underground in London, which was very nice, very efficient. You could get around. It was like $8 for a pass, like a Metro card type of thing. You get a pass all day to run around.
You mentioned sort of people's – In the audiences, their guard was down. You were able to get that sort of level of comfort with them. Is there anything from that experience of performing, or just the experience in general, that you are that has changed or made you think about songwriting in a different way, or the way that you're tackling your music or tackling your live gigs now?
I wish that it was something that I could do that would radically change the shows and stuff, but I really think it's just, like, culturally different, which mm-hmm. was at shows here in America, everyone is on their cell phone, and they're constantly looking at their phone. And that was right away, I noticed that no one in the audience ever pulled out their phone and was looking at it and or taking pictures or scrolling, you know, like – over here, that's normal. Mm-hmm. And over there, and I even mentioned, and they all started laughing, like, what? We would never do that. I'm like, I'm used to playing to it looks like just a bunch of lamps. You know, like, you just see all these.
That is the greatest way to describe that ever. I've never heard somebody describe it that way, but it's perfect.
But that's what it feels like when you look out. It's just all these glowing faces that looks like lamps everywhere. So that was the biggest thing I noticed right away, is that they had way more respect for artists and musicians. And over here, you're competing with, you know, so many bands every night of the mm-hmm. week. And it's like, I think music has lost its power over here because it's so prevalent and free and available and millions of streaming. So it's not as important as it used to be when it was harder and you had to buy all the music and treasure it. And, you know, it was more romantic when you had to go to the record store, look at an album, and that's how you figured if you were going to purchase it. Like, what does this look like? I would flip over the back. Oh my God, this band is like jumping off the stage. This must be the most exciting record. A lot of times they were bummer records, but
sure.
like, but you saw, that's how you would, preview it is mm-hmm. look at it, or you would, when you would listen to it at home, you would go over every inch of that LP and and then it would say, like, we want to thank these bands. That was your Google search. You would find out other bands by what bands that you like said they liked.
That's so funny. I just heard an interview with Steve Albini, and he was saying the exact same thing.
Oh, really? That's
how that is how he got into punk. Was, you know, he had a friend pass him a punk album, and he pored over the liner notes and everything and found out who those bands thanked and then got those punk albums. Right. And that's what got him into music, too.
Yeah. We started Alone at 3 a.m. in 1999. So, like, our window was we were on Pure Volume and MP3.com and MySpace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, that was just like early days of dial-up internet, you know. So that's how you found music, was whoever band you like, their top eight. It was basically the same thing.
You're just looking, in a digital space,
right? You're looking for a filter system, and now it's daunting. It's overwhelming for a consumer. Like, how would you find a band? You're like, there's a bajillion bands out there.
It is really tricky. So that brings me to a good question. So how do you guys as a band, having kind of been through, you know, the sort of infancy of digital music, in your infancy as a band, when you're putting together an album like your new one, how do you tackle it with that in mind, or how do you put an album together with the idea that some people might be listening on vinyl, some people might be listening on a CD, and some people might be grabbing your tracks off Bandcamp. Do you even factor that in, or do you just focus on the recording as a recording, and that other stuff just happens after it's done?
I think with all bands, it's a trial and error to mm-hmm. like what works for them. Like, I always thought like more forward thinking. Like, back when the very first record that we put out, I wanted to put it out on a thumb drive in 2007.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I totally got outvoted by the band, and they're just like, no way, it'll never work. And I was just like, I want to try something different because I don't know if this CD thing is going to mm-hmm. stick around. You know, like, we got to go with what is changing. And it's, you know, for every band out there, every year there's a new standard.
Right.
It's like, you got to use Bandcamp. If you're not on band, you got to use Fuzzy Whistle or whatever the new thing is. You know, it's just like, how many websites do I have to register and upload these same tracks? So, you know, it's just like continuous of, like, you were on MySpace, now it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It never ends.
Yeah. There's always a new account to be created and managed.
I can't worry about what the format and how this is going to play out. Like, I'm going to just try to make the best music as I can.
That's the way to do it.
And then the rest of the stuff is, hopefully I'll stumble on something that I like and enjoy to continue putting content towards. Because that's what I feel like now. I'm just a content provider for these services. Mm-hmm. They need to know constantly what I'm eating for lunch.
Yep.
What is cool? What do I think is random? You know, I got to have a hashtag ready at all times. It's so weird because all these bands, they have to all be like stand-up comics. You have to make very punchy jokes. And if you don't, then people lose interest.
What's that expectation like as a musician? You know, when you're focused on one art form, to have this kind of expectation of also being a master of these other art forms, whether it's snazzy Instagram photos or comedic tweets, just to get your primary art form out there, is it distracting from the making of the music, or does it just become, you know, kind of a time suck?
Well, I think it's like, if I look back at the bands that I really liked when I was 13 or something, you know, like, I really liked Nirvana, but I never got to see them live, and I never got to see anything anywhere close to what they were doing in their day-to-day lives. So it's like, I feel like you get, right now in this time period, you get a unique window into intimate details of these artists that we never would have had of the Rolling Stones or the Beatles or any, like, big popular bands back then. You wouldn't know what they're into at all times. But now it seems like that's the requirement, is you have to be an open book to everything. You have to really expose yourself at all times. So now, after being 16 years into this of being like open and honest, sometimes I feel like I wish I was Kiss and I could put on a makeup outfit and then just turn it off at the end of the day. But like now it's never off. It's like I'm constantly on call.
And it's interesting to think about when, I don't know if this is true of you, but a lot of the songwriters I talk to, you know, say that it's hard enough kind of getting up the gumption to put yourself out there in the form of a song, you know, to put what you've written, what very often comes from a very intimate place within you and you've formed into a song, out to put that out there in the world, but then to be expected to then put a whole other aspect of your personality,
make it entertaining.
It's tricky.
It is. But see, that's also like the ever evolving thing of music now, and what you consider an artist and what their expectations are. Like, you know, like everyone has to pretty much step their game up of what they're going to do. Like, you can't just be playing good songs. Like, everybody can do that now, you know, like with like the digital recording, like everyone can sing perfect pitch, everyone can play perfectly in time. That's not a skill to acquire, like before. Like, and in our band, I guess since we're old, we still continue to record in analog and like don't use any of those cheats. Like, we really want to do it the right way. And like, if it takes 10 takes, I want to do it until it's right and not just quickly edit it and make it easier like that. But, you know, that's my own stubbornness now. I've committed to that. I can't just I can't go back now and be like,
now
16
like,
years of actually trying. And then I'm like the 17th year, like, let the robots do it now. You know, like, I can't do it.
When the robots take over, it's all over.
But honestly, I never thought it would last this long, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't look at it as, you know, whatever angle or something, you know, it's just like, I'm doing this, we're having this conversation, we're having this moment tonight, and I'm just grateful and happy for that. And anything else that happens is out of my control.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I put on a clean shirt, I drank your tea, you know, like, my end of the bargain is over, you know, like, so we're just going to have fun.
That's right. That's right. Well, in talking about recording in analog and all that, why don't we give folks a listen to one of the tracks from the album? We're going to hear Most Men. Do you want to introduce this at all?
Yeah, this is like kind of a little mellower song. I really enjoy it. I really like all the guitar work Andy did on this, and I hope people like it.
Let's take a listen to this one right now. This is called Most Men. It's from Alone at 3 a.m.'s latest album, Show the Blood. We'll be back to tell you how you can see them live and hear another one from Max here in a moment on Kaleidoscope.
Most men, desperation every night. I won't be turned down, 'cause there's nothing left to lose. I'll leave this place
That was Alone at 3 a.m. from their new album, Show the Blood, that's out now on Sofa Burn Records. That song was Most Men, and we've got Max Fender here in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So you're back from Europe, and the band is done with the album, and it's out there in the world. What does the end of this year and the beginning of 2016 look like for you guys?
Some more regional touring with some friends, Quiet Hollers from Louisville, that we just played a couple show with and really enjoy. And we're going to play a couple shows with them coming up in November. And I don't think there's much going on for December. And I think January, Sofa Burn is going to do like a caravan of like Daniel Martin Moore and me and Zach from Buffalo Killers and his brother, and maybe Jeremy's going to go on that, and we're going to do a couple record stores.
Oh, nice.
In Dayton.
Cool.
So that's what I know what's coming up for January.
Cool.
Early January.
We'll
so that'll be fun, too, just to all get in the van and drive around and play some record stores.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good strategy for January in Ohio. And,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, do a short little thing up to Dayton, nice and safe. That'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I also just like the camaraderie of all of us on the same label and getting to all drive around together. It makes it way more fun than you against the world. You know?
Yeah, for sure. And nice with the Sofa Burn crew that you've got that kind of cool, like, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Dayton regional connection there where it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, I always joke with the guys in the Buffalo Killers, like, you are, you know, we can claim you and Cincy can claim you and Middletown can claim you. Like, we all have a little ownership, you know,
yeah.
I feel like you're all our band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's got to be cool with your label mates to kind of have that, you know, avenue into all of these different cities.
Yeah. Before, I didn't really know Zach very well, but now, you know, being on the same label and talking with him a bunch, he's like really awesome guy, and I'm happy to be doing more shows with his band. And, you know, anything to, you know, like we all have fun together. And we just did a thing, like a showcase at the Herzog studio a couple months ago in Cincinnati. That was the studio where Hank Williams recorded I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And like that was a really cool show. That was the same thing of like all Sofa Burn bands getting together and playing there. It was really fun.
That's got to be cool to be in that space, just the musical ghosts there.
Yeah. What was the weird part was it is not like it is just an office building now.
Oh, wow.
So I made a joke like, yeah, you can go see where Hank Williams did all his copying, you know, right here next to the break room.
Yeah.
You know, so but it's weird to see like, yeah, this same spot is where he recorded this, you know. And the studio back then, you know, wasn't like they are today.
Right.
You know, very bare bones. So not that much different than just an office, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool to share that space and especially like talk about it in England with a guy, Ags Connolly, that we played a couple shows with, and he's a big, you know, Hank Williams fan, so I got to tell him, like, hey, you know, got to play right there, you know? He's super, super excited about that.
Oh, I bet. Mm-hmm. Are you having had this tour experience, are you hoping to at some point be able to, you know, do maybe a full band tour, international kind of thing?
Yeah, that would be incredible to do a full band. It's just, you know, the logistics of getting four more people over there, it's just...
And four more people's worth of gear and et cetera,
It's just a lot, you know. That's a big crew to be going around, and we'd be going with another band at least, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. If we can work it out, that would be amazing to do it. It would be really fun. I think the rest of my band would really have a lot of fun over there.
Yeah. Something to strive for in the future.
Yeah. When we first came over there, I thought that maybe I could blend in as a European, you know, like, because everyone said, like, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And I was like, I don't know. I wear a lot of black, you know, like, I think I could pull this off. And when we first got off the plane, you have to go to customs, and we landed in Amsterdam, and I go up to the guy, and I'm just grinning like a country bumpkin because this is my first, you know, and I go up to the guy, and he's just real stern face. And I said, "You're going to be my first stamp in my passport." And the guy just looks and he grabs it and he looks at it and he's like, "Kentucky?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Have fun, hillbilly." And then boom, boom, stamped it and then just slid it under me. I was like, "Dang, man. Like, no, I guess I'm not pulling this off."
Nothing wrong with being true to yourself, you know.
I guess just they get Duck Dynasty all the way over there, too, you know. Like, I thought I was going to pull it off. No.
You know.
No.
We are talking with Max Bender from Alone at 3 a.m. Their new album is Show the Blood. It's out now on Sofaburn Records. And you can catch them live November 13th in Lexington at the Green Lantern Bar, on November 20th in Louisville, and then November 28th at the Southgate House. They're going to be playing with Quiet Hollers and Arlo McKinley.
Yes.
Is that one?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Lots of good chances to see these guys regionally. But in the meantime, would you play us another one here in the studio?
Yeah, sure. Great. This is I'm Dying. This is off the brand new record. We kind of use this as like a single. We made a music video in like a 2-block radius of where I live in Dayton, Kentucky. And this song's about growing up in the 90s and during the recession, and my dad was a carpenter and my mom was a lunch lady. And so we always got by. We were lucky for that. And this is a song just about being grateful that my dad always found work and we were okay, because a lot of families didn't. So this is a song.
Self and we're only talking. I ain't dead, but I'm dying. This old town to choke, letting spit hope right out of you when you go walking. I'm just trying to get by if you're asking. Oh, it gets hard to see the light shadows casting. Somehow I won't give up. Never asked for much. Maybe one day I won't be so broke at the end of this road. Go, it's hard to know. It'll eat your soul if you let it. Won't work real hard, stay out those bars, be on top if I win it. I'm just trying to get by if you're asking. Oh, it gets hard to see the light shadows casting. Somehow I won't give up. Never asked for much. Maybe one day I won't be so broke. Roll it down and breathe it in. So we may never be here again. Myself and we're only talking. I ain't dead, but I'm dying. Somehow I won't give up. Never asked for much. Maybe one day I won't be so broke at the end of this road.
Max Fender from Alone at 3 a.m. live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. The band's got a new album out. It's called Show the Blood. That's on Sofa Burn Records. And you can see them live November 13th in Lexington at the Green Lantern Bar, November 20th in Louisville, and November 28th at the Southgate House. Both of those two dates are going to be with the Quiet Hollers and Arlo McKinley. Max, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, and your tea is amazing.
Ah, thanks.
It's very British. And I would know.
You would know. You would know.
They have the same, you know, Earl Grey.
Yeah.
Very authentic.
Check out Alone at 3 a.m. We've got links up to connect with them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Get your hands on this album. All the details online.
My brain makes drugs to keep me slow. A hilarious joke.